D72 is the professional PC text multi-tool designed for automation in diagnostic, Windows repair, and malware removal. No other tool can help you automate more, relax more, and get paid with less effort than ever. Podnuts likes to thank Nick Shaw for his continued support.
Hey everybody, welcome to Geeksters episode 123. I'm going to stop there. We don't need to go to 4. We're not quite there yet, but someday we will be. But yes, it is Geeksters episode 123. You're not seeing, you're not dreaming. We're all here today. I'm joined with Mitch, with Tim, and our good friend Nick Shaw. So hey guys, how's it going? I'm going to start with Tim first because it's kind of been a while. But first, before we get to that, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Tim. I just wanted to talk about, well, Geeksters is a show. We just talk about geek stuff. You know, anything if it's geek, we will talk about it, from watches to Fitbit to Linux, printers, you name it. If it runs on technology, we will talk about it. The other news that I wanted to bring before the show started was to let you know that you probably haven't heard from or seen Fred around in a while due to some circumstances, and Fred wanted to go ahead and step down. He wasn't able to make the shows, and I think he stepped down, and so Fred is not a part of Geeksters anymore. We're hoping to have him on again. I'd love to have him on as a guest and have him come back and just talk about what's going on. But as a normal host, he's gone ahead and chosen to step down. So, but we'll get that out of the way, and we wish Fred all the luck. And he is busy though, so that's good for him. But I wanted to say hi to Tim. How's it going?
Well, in the case of Fred, I don't have to be the best. I just have to outlast. That's how you'll win. Hey, we miss you, Fred. Love you. Hey, it's good. I'm doing really well. I'm glad to be back. And it's been a very busy spring for me with everything going on with the family. And so schedules didn't mesh. And so, sorry, guys, but I dumped you for my family in a second. That's how it goes. But, you know, the time is, I have windows open and available again, so I'm back. And, it was great. So,
well, I'm glad to have you back.
I'm really glad to be back. So I'm doing really well. It's good to see you guys.
Good, good. Hey, Mitch, how's it going?
I'm doing all right. I was on a little hiatus for a while. I had a surgery on my eyelids. They were drooping really bad, and especially at night, I just could not see. So my insurance approved it, and I had surgery. It was 2 weeks ago. It'll be 3 weeks ago this Friday coming up. And now they're still swollen a bit, but now I'm at the point where I can see at night. I mean, I had a tough time seeing at night, yeah. But now I can watch TV without trying to guess what I'm looking at.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Wow. And then to Mitch's, I guess it'd be his. Anyways, you're right. The guy in the middle, right there. That's Nick Shaw. Hey, Nick, how's it going?
Hey, how's it going, Martin? I'm doing fine this week, and I might actually even have something to talk about.
Oh, you always have something to talk about, Nick. You every day there's something. It seems like every day there's something new, and I have a hard time keeping up with all the new tweaks and stuff you do and updates on your applications. And
So do I. I have people bringing things up to me all the time, and I don't even remember I did that or I was going to do that in some cases, but yeah, I have a hard time keeping up myself.
Yeah, well, the stuff you're bringing though is really good, and I'm just going to jump in and we'll just talk about some of the new stuff that you have brought. You brought in, you kind of combined a couple things together, the D Maintenance Home Edition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's kind of a new.
It's sort of new. D Maintenance was an app I wrote early on in the D7 days when I was just getting started with that, and basically it was just the maintenance routine of D7 that I just ripped out and made its own app that could be portable and standalone and, you know, one click and all that good stuff. And, the code just got old. I never updated it, you know, and it kind of sat around for a few years not doing anything, while the maintenance code in D7 and other apps was updated, you know. I never went back and did anything with D Maintenance, so I finally did that, essentially. And I wrapped it up in a package that would be neat for, like, a home user.
Well, and then you threw in Crypto Prevent.
Yes. I threw in Crypto Prevent. It's like it's a combo deal you can get on the website. Crypto Prevent and D-Maintenance, and save a couple of bucks.
Well, and as everybody knows, Crypto Prevent is, or your Crypto Locker is still out there. It's still, you know, it's still going. The first time that Nick, you and I kind of really started talking a lot was last December, when I was called in, and Tim and Mitch, you guys remember this, I was called in as a consultant for a company that was infected with the Crypto Locker virus, and we got them all cleaned up, and kind of the whole thing that came with all of that, and what, you know, I learned what the Crypto Locker virus does and kind of how it acts, and the way that it kind of runs through some stuff and ran and stuff, Nick, by you, and we talked about it, and but then I was put on their list of to keep updates, and I've been meaning to call them, let them know you don't need to have me on the list anymore, but I just got an email yesterday saying that, well, the day before yesterday, with kind of seeing a thread back and forth regarding, you know, we're receiving all these emails from Xerox. They're PDFs. Should we open them? Should we not? You know, their IT guy saying, no, you shouldn't open them. And then I got an email, I think this morning or late out yesterday, saying, we've been infected again. So it is still out there, and it's still going. I mean, my sister was infected not too long ago, and we wiped and reloaded her machine. But yeah, so Crypto Locker is still out there. So Nick, your Crypto Prevent is still heavily needed, and it's still a very valid and used application. And you've been increasing it. So now you're on version 6?
Yeah, I'm up to 6 point something. And basically, I've added some new things to it. I am now using a definitions-based rule prevention system. Crypto Prevent will download continually, like daily definitions, that are updated, with newer, you know, signatures for malware. Some of those are hash-based rules, predominantly hash-based rules. Some of them will go into software prevention policies, like everything else that Crypto Prevent does. And some of those hashes are actually going into a new filter module. And that filter module is designed to take over certain file associations and run run before those files like PIF, CPL, SCR. It'll run before those files and, you know, compare that, just every file, you know, that runs, no matter where it is in the file system, and compare that against a hash-based definition. The hash-based definitions I'm actually getting from an awesome guy, Steve B. at sanesecurity.com, and they make third-party defs for Clam AV and some other things. So he's been kind enough to clue me in and give me some hashed definitions that I can add to Crypto Prevent.
Wow,
and that's about where we are right now.
So is the version of Crypto Prevent that gets constantly updated? You said that it kind of updates it maybe even daily. Is that the premium edition, or is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
so
you can update it manually anytime. You can wake up every morning and update the free version yourself, though.
Right, but the manual edition is the free edition. Sorry, but the premium edition is the one that does get updated.
Right,
automatically.
Right, and I will say 90% of those updates go towards the new filter module functionality. There is a caveat with that. There are some anti-malware apps that, you know, don't necessarily like those settings. Mm-hmm. Like Malwarebytes reports those settings as broken, like a broken registry setting. It doesn't report it as actual malware. It just says this is broken. Would you like me to fix it? And that's not the case. I think there's like a thread in their forums, and they're going to actually do something about that, which is kind of cool. But, you know, I expect trouble with other things too. So, like, generally when I deploy this to businesses and when I do my sell, because I have a new bulk resale edition of Crypto Prevent. When I sell bulk and I get businesses come to me and I'll make custom installers for them so they can deploy without putting in their product keys and all of that junk, I will ask them to consider not using those settings just for right now because of that, you know. So,
well, and then you took Crypto Prevent and made an MSI out of it. So now you can deploy it via group policy.
Yes, that was the other big thing. Now we can do group policy deployments.
Now, do you have to? So here's a question, because as you know that I have deployed a Crypto Prevent ish via group policy to my clients, but it's not the Crypto Prevent application because there was no way to do that. So I just blocked everything. I basically did what you're doing at Crypto Prevent, and we've talked about this, doing the same thing, but I had to go through and manually create a group policy object, and it was work, but it had to be done.
Yeah, and plus the group policy object that you created, you probably created like 6-8 rules, something like that. Different rules. Yeah, the Crypto Prevent does over 250. So,
oh wow,
you know, some of them are, you know, more specific than what you get into, but some of them are a little redundant for variational purposes. But yeah, there are actually over 250 individual rules that it creates. So it's kind of beneficial to do that over the standard Crypto Locker Prevention Kit that you've seen out there, the group policy objects that you can import.
Right. So the question then is, if your MSI gets deployed via group policy, can you make changes on a domain level to it, or is it just you're pushing out the single application, but to make any tweaks to that, you have to go to each user or each computer?
Actually, you would not have to go to each computer, but it would be sort of a pain at the same time. There would be a bit of a script involved. And I'm kind of working on that. That's something that I'm working on right now, but it's not fully realized yet. But the good news is at least you can deploy now. The worst case scenario, and actually the easiest thing to do, since it's MSI based, you can actually just have it reinstall with different settings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's your worst case scenario. You can then set your rule to uninstall it and then reinstall it with a different installer with your different settings in it. So,
okay, so you can actually make kind of a template, push out the MSI via group policy, and it will take the settings that you basically created in that, if you will, a template, and across the board.
Yeah.
Okay. Because one of the things that I know that we have talked about regarding this is, and I've seen it even just the other day, I had a client who needed to install an HP printer, and they go to install it, and it says, group policy won't allow you to do this. Mm-hmm. Firefox and Mozilla applications will not allow you to do that. And I think you said it was the 7-zip. Was that?
It's the 7-zip in the extraction rule. The extracted, I call it extracted, temporary extracted something or others. And it's just the rule that blocks compressed executables running from compressed archive files. That's something that I don't have enabled by default in Crypto Prevent, and it's something that I honestly don't feel is necessary to stop Crypto Locker.
So I should go ahead and probably go back to my rules that I've created in group policy and go ahead and just remove that. There's no you from I mean, I'm going to say I'm going to and I really
there's another rule, and I don't know what you used, I don't know what you based it on, but the Crypto Locker Prevention Kit, the original one that's out there,
that's the one that I used.
Okay, that one, and also the information on Bleeping Computer tell you to create a rule, and that kit has the rule in it that actually blocks all subdirectories of local app data. And the problem with that, now when you're talking about running into a problem installing a printer, for example,
mm-hmm.
A subdirectory, the first level subdirectory of local app data also happens to be your temp directory. So if you actually create that rule, you're blocking any executable that would run in the bare temp directory.
But don't you want to block that, correct?
No, you don't. You don't want to block any executable from running in your temp directory, ever.
Okay, because I was under the impression that is how that executable running in that temp directory is how CryptoLocker gets installed.
And it is now. They do run in the temp directory, I believe. There's not much you can do about that on the latest variant. That's why CryptoPrevent has went to a hash-based system. And there are other things in place, like stopping CryptoLocker at the level of the person opening the attachment. You know, because most of the time they're carrying a fake file extension or something like that. It looks like a PDF. It's named .pdf, but it's a .exe instead. That's right. Where CryptoPrevent blocks all of those, no matter where they're open from. So the trick is to stopping it before it gets to that level. But if it does get to that level, then yes, it will utilize the temp directory now. Before, it utilized app data. And that's where the original rule set was blocking most everything. And then there was like a secondary ZBot infection or something that utilized temp or something like that. And that's why the rule was there. But you never really want to block anything in temp. So
okay.
You can, and so many people have, based on the information that's out there right now, but I, just as a computer tech, I mean, if you watch your temp directory, you know, how many legitimate apps do you run, you know, if you were just to have it open and watch executables pop up in there and run, so.
Well, what I've done then is if it is a legitimate app and it does get blocked, they then give me a call and they say, hey, here's a problem we're running into. Not a problem. Yeah. I will then go into the group, you know, users and computers. I'll move the computer out of that OU. I'll go to their computer, run a GP update /force, which will force the GP update policy again. Then I install the application. Everything works fine. I move them back to the group. And then I run the GP update force again to re-push out the policy. It's a long way to, it's kind of a long way to do to get something installed. But on the other hand, from my thought would be it's better to go through that process than just kind of allow certain things to happen.
True. Very true. I mean, I just can't imagine really what might go wrong, and you don't even necessarily know something is going wrong.
Right. Right. There, I mean, this balance between security and functionality has kind of been this battle for ages, you know. And it doesn't even have to be CryptoLocker. It could be malware. It could be antivirus. It could be this person wants whatever that screensaver revolving desktop. You know what I'm talking about? What is that?
Yeah.
You know, I had a customer one time who wanted that, and I'm like, I just I will put it on there for you, but I can't even think of the name of it right now. But you know, and so you end up with this, but I want to be secure, but I want to put on this, you know, potentially known, you know, application. And it's like, well, then you're going to have to deal with the ramifications. And, you know, so, but my job is to make sure they're secure and they will call me and I will update it. And but it will always go for a long time. That the one thing I did want to ask you then is, I know you did have a sale for the D Maintenance Home Edition. Is that still going on, or is that's passed?
The sale is passed. The new low price is the sale price, I believe.
Oh, wow.
In other words, I don't, you know, I think I had like a date that I was going to stop it or something, and then I forgot, and then I didn't know what was going on, so I just left it.
Well, excellent. And I can't, unfortunately, at this moment, your webpage is having issues.
Oh, yeah.
I think Geeksters brings down web pages, so I apologize for bringing down foolishit.com.
I wish you did.
We did.
What's wrong with it?
We did, please. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink, Nick. Come on, we did.
Okay, you did.
All right. So listeners, please be gentle on our guests next time. If we bring on anybody like, you know, I don't know, the NSA, we don't want to bring them down. That's all I'm saying. so I can't remember the price off the top of my head, but they were very reasonable. They were like, I don't know. They were very reasonable, and for what you get for your D maintenance and what you get for the Crypto Prevent premium edition, which updates all the time, well worth it. Well worth it.
Yeah, I think so.
And you came out with D Erase.
Yeah. D-Race. Whatever you want to call it. I just threw a D in front of it. You know me. Yeah.
Oh, well, the D and the E kind of sound alike. So, okay, D-Race.
Yeah, I just threw a D in front of it. So I needed there's a bit of a secure erase app to this erase program. The entire reason why I created this the other day out of other than sheer boredom was I needed something to bypass file system permissions and ownership, and I wanted to quickly erase system volume information, and maybe I want to securely write random data over that 7 times, you know. So D-Erase was born, and I also wanted to drag and drop, you know, onto the executable files or folder trees or whatever. So I had to do that, and that's just a freebie that I've thrown out there, so you can pick that up if you need to. Oh, and now it does partitions. It will do it doesn't do drives yet, but that's in the works. Partitions, you can have it basically fill up your partition with random data as many times as you want to, and or the same data. You can what's in the works is I plan to just do a little disk part script to remove all partitions on the drive, and then repartition them with one giant partition, then do the data writes, then erase that again, then take your, just make a little report or something with your drive serial number and all of that, and that it's been cleaned. So that's kind of in the works. But it does the drive serial number and a few other things right now. I just need to get it to do whole drives.
That is cool. So it's kind of, as techs, we've heard a lot about DBAN. And so this is kind of the same way. But with this, it sounds like you could be, especially if you're going to run it locally, you don't want to erase a drive or partition, but you need to secure the erase data on your system. This is kind of like a pinpoint version, you know, that's going to do the same thing micro on a micro level.
Yeah, pretty much. And I mean, you can use it on a, and of course the plan is to use it on a drive level. And you can technically do that now. Actually, I cheated because this is something I wanted to do that I needed to do, but I didn't feel like doing the disk part aspect of it yet. I really actually needed the functionality first. So I stuck a link to disk management in the menu at the top of the program. So you can link to disk management, open that up, erase your partitions with disk management, create a partition, and then go and use D-Erase on the newly created partition. There is a little bit of manual work, but you can get the same thing accomplished.
That's cool. So I can remove the my Justin Bieber MP3s without anybody giving me a bad time, and that they're really, really gone.
Yeah, pretty much.
You mentioned D-Ban. That's not one of your products, is it, Nick?
No, sir. No, sir. Right. No. The only other thing.
In front of it. Well, sure.
Most things with a D, you know, I'm except for drag and drop, I'm not behind that.
Or delicious.
And I'm not behind delicious either. No. So.
We just come up with a whole bunch of D words, and we'll just ask you. If anybody has any questions about D words that Nick may or may not own, give them an email.
Yeah.
You'll just be getting tons of emails. What about Da Bomb? Is that like bring in Da Bomb, bring in Da Funk? Are you behind that at all?
No, I'm afraid not.
All right.
Oh, very good. Oh, gosh.
Well, Tim, how's things going with you?
Oh, they're just fine.
The softball's over.
What's that?
Softball's over.
Yeah, the regular season. We've got some tournaments coming up this summer. And of course, it all leads into fall ball.
Yep.
Which is just a prelude to winter practice until next spring. So it never ends, which is great. So Well, we had a good season. I enjoyed myself. So, that's kind of what that was all about. So, speaking of that too, it's really kind of interesting that both Nick and I are here on the same show, because one of the things that I was going to bring, one of the first things I was going to bring when I came back was this awesome deinstaller that I that you got me onto, Mark. Like, I finally was like, oh, wait, I remember Mark mentioned that. I got to get that out. And I was, I was cleaning up a machine that was just all gunked up full of stupid crap. And so I'm going to try this deinstaller. Mark was talking about it. It's awesome. It's awesome, Nick. Where has this been all my life, huh? It's fantastic. It really is.
Yeah. I'm working on it. I mean, it could be better, but it's very good for it's very good for the lazy tech, I guess, and that's me. It's why I've created most of my utilities. So, I hope that they can help you, be as lazy or make.
Well, I feel it's also good for the very thorough tech.
Yeah.
But no, it's great. Yeah. I mean, it does everything but make the toilet flush. I'm sure that's like the most requested feature of this deinstaller. No, I mean, it's great. You just go through the boxes, check out, I want this out of here, and you just, it's nice. It's about being lazy, but at the same time, it's about efficiency. The thing about Windows, you have to click, and you have to click, and you have to click.
Yeah.
And I was reminded of that so painfully recently. I was reinstalling Windows XP on something. And I'd rather not talk about that, but oh my gosh, what an awful, awful thing that was.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, I'd like to install this. Okay, why need you come back in about 5 minutes and click something and then go away for another 5 minutes? The installer was very needy, It wouldn't make sure you were there. And I forgot how bad it was. It was awful. And so, yeah. Sure, I'll move all these files, but I'm going to need you to come back in a little bit and just click to make sure that you still love me.
Are you still there?
Just move just them click all. Yes. Just move them all and ask me questions at the end, okay? And so that the deinstaller, it's fantastic. Just click everything. I want out of here. And
have you discovered the whitelist and blacklist feature?
Now, I only used it once, and I'll tell you what, it's one of those things that it looks like it's ultra, like, has all these features and all these things, but at the same time, it's like, which I like things that give you options that you can configure, but the first couple times you use it, you don't have to, like, know everything about it. You can just look at it, click a few things, and make it work. It's like, oh,
that's
God. I can discover these other features as I go.
Yeah, that's true, and that's actually kind of unusual for my apps, but the cool thing about the whitelist and blacklist feature that I just wanted to get you started on is you can go in and blacklist the word toolbar, and you can whitelist the word Google. And it's going to uninstall everything with the word toolbar in it except for the Google toolbar.
Okay.
So you can do things like that, and you can get really creative with some of the rules that you can create with that. So.
Yeah, I find that whenever I use some of your products, Nick, I think of the movie Shrek. And the only reason I think of the movie Shrek is because, like ogres, onions have layers. And your applications are like onions. Every time you could just use it on the face value, or you could dig really, really deep and make it actually flush the toilet for you. So I think you need to go register deflush, and then an application that'll just click things for you, declick.
Declick.
So now we'll have all these applications that we just, and then pretty soon I think we'll just have a foolish IT OS, and we won't have to. You just kind of put the CD next to the computer and then walk away, and everything gets done. You don't even have to. It does. It just grabs it by osmosis.
Awesome.
It's the first OS that's beard based.
Now, did you say beard or beer? Because they both sound great.
I did. The beard.
This OS runs on beer.
Yeah, there's that too. Oh, and I have one more new thing I need to talk about. Before we throw everything to the wind.
This is Geek Foos, right? That happens like 3 minutes after. As soon as you go with the intro, it's fair game.
it's all or nothing. There's anything out there. It's all fair game. No, I have received a lot of requests by a lot of people who have had trouble with D7 2 or something like that, getting it set up, configured.
Dramatic pause. There it is.
Make more money. Essentially, they don't know how to get set up and use it to just essentially just to maximize everything. I'm going to do a training camp.
Oh, very cool.
And it's going to be instructor-led webinar. Not me, actually. I'm going to have a qualified, vetted, trained instructor.
Nick Shaw approved?
Nick Shaw approved on D7 2. Possibly a second technician is going to be there as well. You might even know who he is, but I'm not going to say anything at this point. I will also be there for the entire webinar. I'll jump in anytime I see the need, and I'll be available for Q&A at the end. Probably looking towards like a setup course, and then we'll do a poll. I know we need to do a malware removal course. We'll do a poll. We'll see what people want beyond that. Initially that's something that's in the works, and it's going to be coming up pretty soon. So I wanted to let your readers know if they're interested in this. Definitely contact me, foolishtech@foolish.com. Let me know what you're interested in hearing about, what you're interested in learning about, because we're gonna do this course. So then we're gonna syndicate it or whatever and make it available for download and other people and all that good stuff too. So,
do you have an ETA on that?
No, I really don't, because the project is dependent on several other people. And, I can't really speak for anyone but myself, and I can't even speak for myself most of the time, so.
the reason I asked for an ETA is because I am interested in that.
Yeah. I got married. I don't need to do that anymore.
Yeah. And you're on the mailing list, Martin. So I don't know. If you're on the Foolish newsletter, you'll definitely get it. You can sign up for that on the website if you can get to my website. Maybe not today, but hopefully tomorrow. So you'll definitely get some information on it if you're signed up there.
Very cool. Well, I'm looking forward to that. Yeah. I'll drag Tim along with me.
Yes, please do.
He will derag me along.
That's right. Took me a moment. Sorry.
I got it.
All right. Since Tim's been gone,
That was dumb. All right. Anyway.
Anyway. So since you've been gone for a while, you have to have a plethora of stuff that you want to talk about.
Gosh, you would think so. I'm sorry. I'm sitting here. I'm just like completely drawn a blank. And I had that awful Hangouts, that noise like wake me up when I didn't even realize I'd fallen asleep earlier.
Oh.
So I'm just like real hazy, and I kind of like then I had to rush through makeup to get here on time. And so I was sitting. I'm like, what on earth did I do? I'll tell you what, I did like think of one thing, and it was kind of one of the stupid things, but you know how like you have like a moment of brilliance and you feel like you have to share it with the world, just a reminder of why you're not like stupid all the time. So I had, I was working, I've been working remotely on this machine, and actually this was a whole cleanup thing. And so, I'm trying to think what even prompted this, but the power went out. And it was actually like my neighbors, so it wasn't like too big a deal if I could just walk down there and figure out what was going on. But I couldn't. This machine was no longer available to me remotely. I'm like, well, what's going on here? And so I called down there. I'm like, hey, this machine, it's no longer available. Is it on? What's going on? So she said, well, it's on. And so she opens up you know, a browser page, and it was getting some strange error to her, and but it wouldn't load web pages, and so I'm like, oh my gosh. So we kind of go through the thing of, you know, just kind of troubleshooting a network and all this, and you know, it's one of those things where you could have just troubleshot this all day, and eventually I would have walked down there, and I'm like, what the heck's going on there? And you know what, just like, I was like, what does your clock, your time and date say? And she said, well, that's weird. It's like 2001 or something like that. And I said, oh, okay, all right. I said, well, fix that time and date. And because she was getting these strange, you know, messages with like security, you know, tokens or all these kind of things. And it was just so bizarre. And she fixed it. And, you know, I love those little moments of like, I call it brilliance, but obviously it's just like, nothing more than your subconscious returning something you've long forgotten about or thought you had. And I guess it's just for experience or wisdom. But that was one of those things where it was like, oh, that's so nice to actually like have something, remember something and actually like fix it. And that was great. And so anyway, now this was a new thing to the machine. And I'm not quite sure what that was. Now, I did, while I was there, I did configure it in the BIOS to resume system state, I think. I'm sure they got this with the settings. So, you know, if the power were to go out, it would come back on, it would turn itself back on. And so this actually ended up happening a couple times. And so I think there was something where, you know, if the power were to go out and then immediately come back on, the machine would, it would start up in such a way that it was almost like it would lose its time and dates, almost like it needed to sit briefly or something off for it to resolve that. So, you know, usually that's like a dead battery in the BIOS, but yeah, I think that making that change somehow, or it's just been so stinking long since that machine's actually been on and off, and maybe something's just wrong with that button cell battery. So, anyway, yeah, that's, if you get any kind of like really weird messages like that, it's like, check the time and date. I mean, I haven't seen that in a long time, but I think we've all had a machine through, you know, at some point where it would lose the time and date, and it just, it's amazing what that affects. It's like all kinds of stuff, and you would never, it's kind of like having like your car blowing smoke out the back and using, running like a 1 mile a gallon, and you know, it only plays classical music on the radio and all these strange things, and it turns out you just have like a headlight out or a taillight out. Some small little thing like that. And it's right in front of you too. That's what's so irritating. It's like right there. If you would just like look, just between here and here. If you would just, here, you would see that like it's not 2001. Yeah. And it's not 2 a.m. So anyway.
Yeah, if you're having Windows updates issues as well, the time will throw Windows updates off. And especially if you're on a domain, if you have all your computers hooked up on a network and you can't talk between computers for whatever reason, the time will throw all of that off as well. And we had I may have mentioned here, I had a client who was constantly, she finally realized that her clock was off on her computer when she was always constantly 5 minutes late to meetings. She'd jump in ready to go. And what would happen is she'd realize that she was 5 minutes late.
Great.
Oh my God! Sorry about that.
No, so she said, "Hey, her clock." So she would adjust her time on her computer, and then it would change again. What was happening was it had nothing to do with her computer. The server was having time issues. So I ran an app on her server. On the server that then updates the time, because on a domain controller, because time is so essential to keep everything in line. You know, now there is a buffer, plus and minus, and I don't know exactly what it is, but it, you know, you could be off a couple of minutes. You know, she was off 5 minutes or so. It wasn't affecting domain utilization or domain resources at all. It has to go pretty far off for that to happen, but it was affecting because the domain server was wrong. It was creating her computer to be wrong, which means that she was getting notices 5 minutes late for appointments.
That's so funny.
And so I had to adjust the time on the domain controller. So if you're in a domain setting and time is wrong, it may not be the local machine. It may be your domain controller or whatever program you have set to be your NTP server. Sometimes I've worked in a couple companies where they've actually made it not a Windows box because it's Windows, but a like a router or a switch. Sometimes a router, because then that's just a piece of firmware.
You know, kind of along these same lines. This is one of those things that I've always kind of encountered, but I've never followed up on it. When you go and like manually sync the time of Windows, why is it on some machines or in some environments it'll never sync properly with Windows 1 or Windows or these like there's always one, there's like you have to go to like the military or whatever it is, and it works fine, but the rest of them it's just like, nope, sorry, I can't help you. What's that all about? Nick's laughing. What's that all about?
You mean are you talking about the?
I'm laughing because I don't think I've ever seen that work right.
So are you? Do you mean like you choose those NTP servers and you say sync against that and?
Yeah, like when you just manually sync,
click right, 90% they're like,
yeah. And I mean generally it's like okay, and then it just works. But every once like I run into them like, that's so weird. Like why? Is it just mad at me, or this is my machine, or what is this all about? So it's always bizarre that it'll find one. It's okay, but the rest, I just always wonder, what is that all about?
Well, by default, your Windows machines, uses Windows and Microsoft's NTP server. Now, you can tell your machine what a different NTP server to go, and there's commands that you can run on your machine to do that. But there are public, if you just Google public NTP servers, you can get a hold of them. And some of them are public, and some of them are public, but you have to pay to access them. So they know what IP addresses you're coming from. And some of them only allow so many people, so many queries per day. So, you know, they're out there, but, time is such a, you say that you don't run across it, and neither do I. I don't run across it very often. But when you do, it's one of those weird things, and you end up spending a little bit of time trying to resolve it.
Are you aware of any prank NTP servers? Because that would be great.
I don't even know if that would be legal.
Oh, really? Okay.
I didn't know. If in that case, you might as well just change your time zone on the computer.
I mean, that would shift it by like even hours. I mean,
pull the battery up.
I think that would be a great pay service.
A prank NTP server? I'm not even sure that's legal, though. That's the problem.
Well, I don't know. Really?
I don't. Well,
I think, isn't everything legal pretty much on the internet?
I guess so.
Pretty much. I think if you pay for it, it makes it okay.
Well, I Googled prank NTP, and it says, do you mean prank DNS?
Oh, you know what? There you go, folks. There's your million idea. Million dollar idea.
Nick, by the chance, did you put D in front of NS by any chance? I'm just curious. is DNS you're doing? Because you are a rich man and you are leading us on.
Oh, yeah. That was me.
That's cool. So we were talking about computers. So I have... All right, so I went back down to Crescent City over the holiday weekend, and I was going to be putting on some of the GFI monitoring stuff on a couple computers that are down there, some of the antivirus. And I get down there, and I'm looking at these HP machines, and I'm starting to write documentation on them because they're brand new. They were donated to this nonprofit, and I'm looking at these machines, and then I right-click on computer, go to properties because I want to see what's in them. And they're HP machines. I mean, they're... They're HP machines. They have HP written all over them. Okay, yeah. I right click on them and it says Dell.
All right.
I'm like, this isn't right. There's something going on with this. And so the gentleman who worked on these computers came in and he said, yeah, it took me it took me a long time to get Office 365 installed because they bought the 5-pack. And he said because I had to call Dell Tech Support to get Office installed. I'm like, what? Why? That doesn't make sense. And so what I think had happened, well, that is what I'm pretty sure would happen. These machines have a key on them. They have a license sticker on them. But when they were given to them from the from this company that donated these machines, they just off the shelf took a Windows 7 Dell one, right? Threw it in there, wiped it out. Here you go. They said, great. You know, and now it's, you only have so many days, your computer, you are a legal copy of Windows 7. So, And then they go to run Office 365 on it. They didn't even notify it. They didn't notice that the pop-up box said, hey, this is a legal copy of Windows 7, or you know, you have your over your activation date in the bottom corner, right? Or that the background is black because you can't put a screensaver or a background because it wants you to make sure you see the white lettering down there at the bottom. So they spent $150 on the 3-pack or the 5-pack of Office 365 and then turn around about spend another $170 on Dell tech support to get a Microsoft product installed. So they contacted Dell tech support to get a Microsoft product installed on an HP machine.
And did it work?
Yeah, it worked. Wow. But the problem is they're still using a legal copy of Windows 7. So I have 4 of these machines home, and I'm going to wipe them out, and I'm going to reload them using the key on the side of the machine, and they're going to have to reinstall their Office product back on them. It's a company that I'm paid to maintain. I'm not going to leave that on there. They have a valid key on it, so
yeah.
So my vacation, which was good, I didn't work on it down there, now turned into a paying thing because I'll be driving down on Friday morning and delivering these computers. But when this was all going on, I said, keep me in the loop. I can get you a computer if you want new computers. We can get them pretty inexpensive. No. We don't have the $1,500 to spend on new computers. So we're going to get these donated. And now I have 4 computers that I have to reload. Plus I'm driving 600 miles round trip, which they're paying for me to go deploy these computers to them, And so,
Martin wins.
I don't want to win.
Off this, a vacation.
Well, I don't want to win. This isn't a good thing to win about, but it's just
I don't want to win.
But I mean, I feel bad for them because they don't have.
Well, I recognize a situation where it's like you're far enough back from it, you're so many steps, you can actually see the whole picture. They're so far into it, they've made so many decisions that were right or wrong, it's not second guessing, but they're so far into it, it's like you just, they have to keep plowing forward, whereas you're like, whoa, how about if, let's just do this, because this would maybe make more sense. It's like, what are you going to do? So,
right. Well, there's some professions out there that end up winning for other people's misery. And unfortunately, we are sometimes in this profession. We sometimes, other people's misery means that we get paid. And
I would say win on it. You know what? The difference is that we don't prey upon other people's misery.
No, that's just creepy.
No.
So.
And wrong.
So, anyways, so that's one of the things that I have to do is go ahead and I'll be doing that soon. On the box that Mitch keeps mentioning that I've never put the side cover on, it's actually running SpinRite on my Xbox 360 hard drive because my son said, hey, this, it's not working quite right. It lags, or you put this, you put a game in, it wants to read as a DVD. And I'm like, we've had it for about 3 years. We should go ahead and, I should go ahead and SpinRite it, check the hard drive. Yeah, sure enough. I've got a really bad sector on it. So it's been chugging away now for about 2 days.
Yeah.
And it's at the, it's doing the Dynastat things, trying to fix a hard sector on it. So now, when I stop it and I go to restart SpinRite, it tells me the smart warning comes up and says your hard drive's bad. So
it's like, well, yes, SpinRite. That's why I'm using you.
Exactly. So, and so right. I had a softball meeting last night, and I came in, and my wife says, where's the Xbox? I said, it's upstairs. She's like, I can't watch any movies, so she ended up watching, she was working, ended up watching cable, and realized that, cable, not a whole lot, on the basic cable, there's not a whole lot on there to be excited about.
No, there's not.
But,
I just saw something else. It really confounded me, and it was kind of stupid. But then again, it was like one of those needle in a haystack kind of things where I had you held it up. It was a small little form factor machine, and somebody was they brought me their old XP machine. And I'm like, let's not fix this. Come on, let me see what I got for you here. It was a really nice little machine that was probably only used for a couple of years, and they want a laptop, and so it just kind of like sat on my shelf here forever. It had Vista, and so Anyway, I was, what's that? Why you laugh?
Said, well, you said has Vista, and right after that you said,
But you know what? I mean, Vista was like, eh. But you know what? After messing with XP, I'm like, well, this Vista's pretty nice.
He was killing me.
Oh man, I loved XP, and I don't know why I hated it. I didn't realize how bad it was. So it's always like using Windows 95 again. So anyway, I reinstall it. I get everything, and it's working beautifully. I was so happy to myself. And I did a lot of it remotely. Like I had like some machines run the basement, and so just periodically I was just like checking on. Okay, we'll do this, do that. I never noticed the sound didn't work. So I'm just about to deliver this computer, and I'm like, well, what the heck? You know, so I'm checking everything, headphones. Well, it's not making any noise. It was the icon was muted, and I couldn't unmute it. And then said there were no like sound devices found. And so I kind of went round and round with that. And so I started reinstalling drivers, and I mean there was nothing listed even in Device Manager for the Howard's listed like sound and game device, whatever it's Howard's worded. And so I tell you, I was like, I really got to the point where I felt like there was a hardware problem. I'm digging around this, and and I guess the one thing I didn't do was run I never got to the point where I ran a Linux disk. But like, I was really beating my head against the wall, and finally, like on a whim, I booted in the BIOS, and I didn't even look through it. Actually, I did look through it. That's what it was, because I finally looked, and somehow that had been disabled, like the onboard audio. I got set up. That's what that was. Because, no, why would you do that? There's a small form factor machine. It's not as if it had, like, a sound card installed in anything like that. I don't know that it even ever been opened up. So I just reset everything in the BIOS to default settings, and when I rebooted, it was perfect. It's like it was installing the drivers, all happy, and I'm like, and I was all happy, and so, but that's one of those things. It's like, my gosh, I have no sound, and it's a BIOS issue, and it's kind of like one of the last things that you would kind of like connect. Those are two dots you wouldn't connect until like right. The very end. So, that was a weird one. It's good to be back. I worked on a lot of really weird stuff.
Yeah, I was trying to think of anything weird that I had done. I moved a network. That was not so weird. It was pretty good. Yeah, just it was, you know, from floor 9 to floor 11. You know, had the Comcast guy come in, and that's not weird. That's just hanging around.
Oh, that sounds, go out and get beers with the guy?
No.
You know what?
Now, do you say beer or beards?
Either way.
He did have a beard. So
I'm
maybe
going to go
either.
Whichever direction that goes. I always like, this isn't usually not good. Usually the Comcast guy shows up, and it's always like, I don't know. It's not like a friendly thing. Like, was this good? Cool. Okay?
Oh, he was fine. I actually showed him. Yeah, actually, towards the end of the thing where I was, because I brought a job shadow along with me. Somebody that I was looking at possibly hiring for to work with me. And brought him along. And we ended up talking about, so you're going to have to go back and listen, but I bought a Fluke tester. And yeah. I was showing that to him, and he thought it was pretty cool. He took a picture of it. That's how cool he.
The Comcast guy.
So I will. It sounds like we'll keep it going. We'll keep going for a little bit here, Tim. But we want to say bye to Nick. Looks like he's got to take off. So we want to thank Nick for coming out and just
thanks
sharing.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for having me, Martin. And thanks for coming back, Tim. Today, when I was here, because I asked Martin, you know, before I said, so who's going to be on Geeksters this week? Cause the roster hasn't been very consistent lately, you know? Yeah. And he said, I said, well, how about, Mitch? And he said, no, probably not. And I said, well, how about Tim? And he said, no, definitely not. something like that, you know? And I was like,
yeah, it was something. Yeah, it was definitely really close to that.
Yeah, he was like,
thank goodness that guy's not back yet.
No, but I thought I'll never get to talk to Tim again. So,
oh man, that's I was on a short break. It was like my daughter's played softball for quite, and this year she had a chance to kind of play on like two teams at the same time. So it really spread me thin.
Oh, cool.
It's like so. You know, if it wasn't a game, it was a practice, and mm-hmm. so it was Yeah, it was just missed a couple months here, but it was it was fantastic. So
awesome.
That's all. So
awesome. Those are memories you can't get back. So
no, and you just want to have a lot of pictures along the way. So, but I was like, I knew that I could do today, and I'm like, oh, Nick's gonna be on. I'm like, oh man, that de-uninstaller, because I just love that thing. It was so great.
Awesome. Well, thanks for giving that a shot, and I hope it'll serve you well in the future. I will talk to you guys later.
Absolutely. All right, and Nick, thanks, Nick.
Yep. Bye.
All right, now that he's gone.
Yeah. Now that he's gone,
what a jerk that guy is, huh?
Oh my gosh.
What a D jerk.
No, I do want to express thanks to Nick, and he did have to go, but Nick has been a big supporter for a long time of the Podnuts Network, and from every show that the Podnuts Network has out, Nick helps support. Oh my goodness! See what you made me do with the D words. All right. Anyways, so thank you, Nick, for coming out and supporting the Podnuts Network. It's good to talk with him again.
Nick's great, and it was nice seeing him here today. You know where that guy lives? Like he's like a little paradise down there. This guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No.
No.
Right. Well, I won't say where he lives, but I mean, yeah, he's.
However, it's pretty nice.
He really should have like more of a tan, I would expect.
I should have more of a tan.
I should, really?
No. I live in the Pacific Northwest. Are you crazy?
Well, you know what? It's just us here. So, what have you been up to, buddy? I haven't really talked to you so much.
Did
softball this summer, the kids?
We had a short softball season, just kind of the way it is. We ended up placing fourth. In our tournament, everything culminates with a tournament. We don't really have fall ball or anything like that. For my co-ed team and the men's team that I play on, we have fall ball. I'm actually playing tonight for the first time in quite a while, so it'll be nice to get out there and start swinging the bat around again. But our tournament ended last weekend. Like I said, our girls placed fourth. The two top teams, 1 and 2, they were very tough to beat. We never beat them. Just kind of luck of the draw. We ended up playing the top team on our last game, and our girls went out and they were excited and they played well. We knew we didn't really stand a chance to win it, but we held them. They struck out against our pitcher. We got them out on certain things. We struck out against their pitcher. We got some hits. They got some hits. So all in all, I think the big thing was the first time we played them, our girls were so defeated. But this time they came off the field cheering and happy and ready to go, and they just had a great time. And so that's a lot of fun.
Oh, fantastic!
So yeah, other than that, things are going good. Work has been going really good, really good.
Yeah, yeah. You sound busy and you look good.
Well, thanks. It's the beard. It hides the. It's where it collects my tears. All right, well, I'm going to give you some news reports, so sit back, relax, let's do it. Today is the 8th of July, so it is Patch Tuesday. Again, Patch Tuesday. Naked Security, which is just a great name for the Sophos group that they put out, they say the Patch Tuesday for July 2014, 6 bulletins, 2 RCEs, that's the remote code executable, 3 EOPs, and those are exploits. I have to look at that. Elevation of privilege holes, and then it says, "And get ready to reboot." So, don't forget to do your Windows updates, because that's something I gotta. I remember to do those. I mark them down on my calendar, and then over the weekend I hit the servers and stuff that I take care of. So, don't forget to do that. One of the other sites that I wanted to bring up that I thought was pretty cool was, there's a couple times, and I can't remember when we talked about it, Tim, but there was a website that I brought that showed you in real time something was happening, but I don't remember what it was. PC World came out with a page, I guess, collaboration of, it says 10 sites with stunning visual data that will change your worldview. And let me give you this link, Tim. But if you take a look at it, it's actually really cool. And the one, there's a couple of them. The first one you go to, it says watch the world get hacked live. And this one is it's a picture of the world, and you can go and you can see things where they have honeypots, and you can see computers talking to the honeypots. And it's put on by a company called, it's a security provider called Norse, N-O-R-S-E. And it actually, it's pretty cool to see it. And it, they said, wait until a DDoS attack lights up the screen. And that's a denial, that's a distributed denial of service attack. And so a denial of service attack, we've talked about it before, is a computer constantly hitting one computer at a time so much data that the receiving computer can't do anything because it's just receiving all that data. Well, a distributed denial of service attack is a whole bunch of computers hitting one. So what you're going to see on this map of that, if that happens, is a whole bunch of places pinpointing all of this traffic to one location. And so this is just a really cool one where you can watch kind of hacks going on and honeypots. And this would be a great one that you could, this one and a couple other ones here, if you had a TV screen, you could just put it on during the day and just kind of just mess with it and watch it. Another one, that this one is real-time tweets, and it's from Tweeping, it's so tweeping.net. This one is actually, there's nothing to look at. Well, there is something to look at, but it's not like the other one where you can see lines of what's happening. This one, there's graphs that's going on, but then all it does is throughout the world, it flashes really quick of what, of tweets. And it's, many are happening a second. And so you just see all these data and you can watch when you start, since I clicked on it and started with, there's, now we're pushing 1900 tweets, there's 2000 tweets, there's 2001 tweets. And you're just seeing all these tweets across the world and they're ranked by North America, South America, Europe, Africa, and Asia. And it's just, and they talk about what the tweets are. And some of them are, be careful with this because some of the hashtags are not safe for work. But a lot of it is, it's kind of interesting. It's kind of fun to go back and just watch kind of this happen.
What was that?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That wasn't the same place, right?
It was the same place. So this PC World has a kind of a walkthrough of 11 or 10 sites, and okay. that was number two or number three, excuse me.
I got it.
Then there's another site that talks about hashtags. So hashtags, most recent hashtags in your location. I know in Chrome it asked me, do I want to use my location geolocating? And then it zooms me in on the Portland metro area, and then I could see what's happening. What are that? It's called what's happening. It's real time Twitter. It's called Trends Map right now. So we have Germany, Brazil, World Cup, Portland, PDX, Nike. So those are some of the things that are happening in my local metro area that people are hashtagging on. I don't know why. I mean, other than the fact that I'm guessing it's World Cup, in Germany, but PDX in Portland, that makes sense. So there's a whole bunch more. There's a lot of stuff that comes from the Watch Dogs game. I guess there's that Watch Dogs game that came out. There's a couple things that come from that. There's Google. Some of the Google stuff that's coming out. You can look at your history, kind of go through all the sites that you've done for your history, but check those out because it's a really cool kind of walkthrough of a whole bunch of different sites, and all of them are just really stunning visually. You can kind of get sucked into just watching it and seeing what's going on, definitely the show notes. The link to that will be in the show notes, but I wanted to bring that because those are fun to look at.
Yeah, you know what? This is a pretty nice list of things. I thought they were all security related, so that's why the Twitter thing kind of was like, I thought you were that was just a different link. And you know what? I agree with like the one commenter here, which is that it's presented in the slideshow format, which is just to me I agree. It's a horrible way to try and find something when you have a list. But
right.
I'm loading up this Norse right now. This is. You know what, I'm not going to do it right now, I'll look at it later, but the snapshots of it, it looks awesome. I mean, it looks like, War Games, but in 2014. I mean, it looks like global thermonuclear war.
It actually does look a lot like global thermonuclear war. You can see some of the attacks that just happened with there. It was just a big stream, like GoDaddy. GoDaddy's constantly getting hit by, Report 80, and it lists the timestamp, the organization, the location, the IP address, then the target. So you have your attacker, then the target, and the service type. So this one here is, these ones are going over 3389. So somebody from China is attacking a location in Seattle over port 3389. Now they're not attacking, maybe the wrong word, but they're sending a lot of traffic to whatever that IP address is in Seattle over port 3389, and 3389 is the remote desktop protocol port. So it's kind of it's a pretty cool fun map. And like I said, this one you could just put up on your wall if you had a big TV and just let it do its thing and kind of look up every now and then, and it attack origins and attack targets. There's a counter. So right now, attack origins 50 from the United States, and attack targets are 95 to the United States. So you can see that we've been attacking some and doing a lot of this stuff. Some of this stuff is local, like the GoDaddy stuff.
Yeah, I'm just now looking at that, and in the description it says the glowy neon aesthetic and rainbow colored quote unquote shots give the whole thing a nifty war games like vibe too. Oh, okay, well, cool. That's what I was thinking. I hadn't read that, but all these things that are like in blue are clickable and they're linked. War games like vibe actually takes you to Wikipedia, folks. If you have to look up war games, just I insist you go watch the movie. Like finish our podcast. But go watch War Games if you don't know what War Games is, which in my mind, I can't imagine anybody not knowing what War Games is. If you don't, that's where the term war driving kind of came from. But go watch the stinking movie. And if you haven't seen it in a while, go watch it again. Because it's, you know what, there's not a whole lot of how tech movies from the 80s that hold up. I don't know. I mean, some of it's kind of cheesy, but still, that's a good movie.
Yeah, it is a very good movie. It is a very good movie. So one more link I have that I want to bring up. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And you know what? Real quick, if you could go back to that time and be in the, you know, be there, all you had to do was just put in 0000, right?
Yep, eight zeros.
Eight zeros.
I don't know why it took the WOPR, the Whopper machine, so long to come up with the missile codes, when really it was... I mean, come on, Matthew Broderick. It was eight zeros. Why did it take the machine that long?
It's so true.
That is a great point you brought up there, Tim.
It's so true, because isn't that where it would start?
Right.
Isn't that where it would start? Just zeros?
I guess so. And really, you know, if you listen to a lot of security researches, it's definitely very dramatic for TV when it scrolls through and it finds, you know, A and then 3 and, you know... I have a hard time talking over his laugh sometimes.
No, it's so true. It's so true. That movie should have been 10 minutes long.
Would you like to play a game? 0000000. Oh, it was just a game. Okay. The only option is not to play. All right. Well, I'm done.
Just all zeros. No, it's true. Because we learned not long ago that the launch... What was it? The launch code, it was just zeros. Oh my gosh. They weren't a long string of, oh my gosh. And it's funny that you're right, so dramatic. It's like to play games, zeros. Game over. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So funny.
All right, so
I'm sorry. Yeah, I interrupted you.
No. That's I never even put the two and two together.
Oh gosh.
So I was listening to Doran Cody last night talk about, on Linux for the Rest of Us, so this was episode 162 that they were doing. They were talking about this report that just came out from Microsoft, and it says downloaded malware exploded in late 2013. And I agree with them. I mean, that is when, you know, in December is when I remember the CryptoLocker virus happening. December and January, because we remember one of the things we had talked about on the show was that it was a lot of these were coming from fake UPS and FedEx, so people would get, you know, fake emails disguised as a valid, you know, during Christmas time or Thanksgiving time or the holiday time, and they would open them and they get infected. And so this report talks about how Microsoft reports all this, and it says deceptive downloads were one of the top 10 threats in 105 out of the 110 countries or regions worldwide studied by Microsoft. More than 6 out of every 100 systems worldwide encountered such a download in the fourth quarter, in just the fourth quarter of 2013. So that's 6% of computers, which, that's a lot.
It is.
It says between 2010 and 2013, the number of severe vulnerabilities exploited in Microsoft products decreased by 70%. So that's the only good news, they said. And well, because but between 2010 and 2013, didn't we? How long is no? 7's been around a lot longer than that, so that would count.
So, I don't know. I can't remember.
Yeah, but I wanted to throw that in the notes to talk about.
Interesting.
That, but yeah. Other than that, I don't have a whole lot anything more to talk about on my side. I've got some little projects coming up. I'm maybe deploying these computers. Met with a couple new clients over the last couple of days. I'm going to be looking at some new systems. I've got new networks to put in, a new server to put in. So I think since we've talked actually on Geeksters, I think I've brought on, I think, 5 or 6 new clients. So it's been, yeah, I'm definitely, looking at hiring somebody. Not because some days it's pretty, things are manageable, and other days they're not. But I still need to have somebody on there, not necessarily for the days that aren't manageable, but for time that I can go and do something. If I need to have a vacation with the family, then I can have somebody. So that's I am looking into that, and that's a good move for me, and it's a good move for my business.
Well, that's good. I mean, it's another hurdle to jump, but. That's part of growth, and you'll find the right person. You're a good guy, Martin.
And well, thanks.
Good people attract good people. I don't know how I ended up here, but you'll do well.
Well, thanks. And if people haven't heard from Mitch, it sounds like there was a power outage where Mitch was, and so he lost power and wasn't able to make it back on the show. So we'll follow back up with him. He said he was working on some desktops and some stuff, so we'll have to next week we'll have him back on. And well, Mitch will always be back on, but we'll get him back on and we'll see what happened, and hopefully the power will be settled in by that time. And so that's why Mitch was there at the beginning and then ended up having to leave. I think he didn't leave on his own accord.
No.
But, well, that's all I got today, Tim.
Beautiful. That was a blast.
Yeah.
So good to be back. I missed you guys.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you back. I was excited to hear that you were going to be making back to the show today. So
yay.
All right, guys. If you want to get a hold of us, send us an email. Geeksters@podnuts.com. If you want to send us a voicemail, 707-6-PODNUT, 707-6-PODNUT. You can always get a hold of me. I'm Martin@obandocomputing.com. Masculine in the forums. Mobando, I'm all around. You just look up Mobando in Google+. I know a lot of our listeners. I follow them. They follow me. Excuse me. We have good conversations on there. And if you want to get a hold of Tim, he's at.
Hey, I'm Tim Bauermeister on the G+.
Ta-da! I don't know. Yeah. I'll have to look and see if I'm following you. I think I am. That'd be a shame if I wasn't after all this time.
I you know what? It's about five. It's a 5-minute catch up.
All right.
I don't post a lot of garbage. And this sort of thing. I won't post anything and then require you to question as to whether you're brave enough to reshare. Oh, do you care enough?
That's right.
To reshare this? Do you care what other people think? Well, obviously, I don't. So, but yeah. Every once in a while, I find like a little gem. I pass it on. But you know what? I have found Google+ and the Hangouts and everything. And it all kind of ties into my phone, and so I have found that it's a great way to share information and get with people. And of course, we're doing the Hangouts now, and so that's you know what, yeah, follow me, I'll follow you back or whatever, not in a weird way. And yeah, I do like the G+. That's where you can find me, Tim Bauermeister.
Nice, I like it. All right, guys, thanks for coming out. Thanks for everybody listening and following us and subscribing. Podnuts.com/Amazon. Is a place you can go use our link a little bit, comes back to help support the show. We have great shows out there. Call That Girl by Lisa, who was on last week. There's shows by Android App Addicts, and Jeff Hallish is doing a whole bunch of shows for techs. And so if you're a tech and you want to come on to Podnuts and you just kind of want to just sit down with Jeff and just talk about what you do, what's your business, if you got stuff that you're selling, get a hold of him. I don't have the email right in front of me, but go ahead and you can go to podnuts.com. You can get all the information. Get a hold of Jeff. He'll sit down with you. You guys can have just a talk on the side, and you'll be part of the Podnuts community and part of the family. So thanks, guys, for coming out and listening. Tim, it's great to have you back.
It's good to be back.
And we'll see everybody next fiscal week. Bye, guys.
D72 is here. Go to foolishit.com for more information.